You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hello, you. You used to be aired week by week on Lifetime, but you got moved to Netflix this season. You want to be public. You want me to watch you. You want to be seen. And I thank you for that. Because this is one of the trashiest shows I've watched in a while that I've loved the shit out of.
You know, Nathan, this is the most attractive I've ever found you.
Oh, thank you.
That was pretty sexy.
I'm glad that I can
now be
added.
You know what's so fucked up is the main character of the show is so charming that I forgot. I was showing my roommate an episode of this. I forgot in the first episode, he's just straight up masturbating outside a girl's window.
Oh, I mention that all the time whenever I'm... because I was fitting this show into a busy week, and my cousin wants to watch this show, so he just keeps coming through, and he's like, wow, you know, this guy, he doesn't seem that bad. I'm like, no, he was totally sniffing your panties and fucking masturbating in a back room like an episode ago.
He was outside, he wasn't in a back room.
Oh, yeah, in the first season, he was straight up fucking mad dog jerking it.
You want to hear something crazy? This show, You, is based on two books, I believe in a prequel book by Carolyn Epsis. Hope I'm saying her name right. And Joe and his stalker behavior is actually toned way down for this TV programming adaptation, believe it or not.
Oh, so it's like a boys, the boys situation.
I suppose.
I mean, that's really turned
The boys down. Was still pretty fucking graphic, though. No, anyways, since I have now taken the role of introducing everybody... we are reviewing You Season 2, and on this review we have...
Doggett!
And...
And I'm Bradley. Hello!
And I am Nathan. I am not Penn Badgley. For the five people who are listening to this who know who Penn Badgley is.
Gossip Girl, right?
I mean... Anyways. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're listening to this review... You should kind of know who the lead main actor is. But, how fucking trashy and fun is this show, despite being creepy as fuck?
I don't know if I want to call this show trashy, really. It is.
Everything is trashy about this show. And it's supposed to be. It's not like a trick that it's garbage that you're rolling around in. It's like, you ever see a bunch of raccoons roll around in garbage and you think to yourself, what a bunch of filthy animals. But then you go inside and you watch TV and you're like, I wish I was a raccoon.
What? What the fuck, Bradley?
Yeah, Bradley, is that a furry thing?
Oh, that wasn't even sexual. That was just, this is my real body.
I thought everything was sexual when we're reviewing this show. Because... Bradley wants it. He wants it so bad. I don't know. I'm done doing Joe.
It's hard to review the show without it like just getting creepy. Because what it comes down to is you're rooting for a stalker at sometimes.
Well, you guys were never like rooting for him, right?
Well,
I think the show does a really good job at kind of separating his goals from something you can even root for at all. Like you're rooting for him not to be bad. But you're not rooting for him to commit crimes. You know what I mean?
Okay, how do I put this? You know what? For the first time this year, and for the last time, I will make an Irishman reference. Weren't you weren't you rooting for Robert De Niro in that movie?
No, of course not.
Never mind.
Not even remotely.
He was the bad guy, dude.
You want them to get better, is what I mean.
You don't get better from that kind of violence.
Yeah, once you get in, you never get out.
Don't you judge me, Nathan. You rooted for Dexter.
No.
Who the fuck said that?
Oh, I'm just making an assumption.
You dick. I didn't even root for Walter White.
Well, did you guys root for Vic Mackey?
Did you root for Jesse Pinkman?
Well, yeah, Jesse Pinkman was just a kid.
No, Jesse Pinkman killed somebody.
Yo, like, Mr. White made me do it, bitch.
No, that's pretty good. We rooted for him to survive, not necessarily to stay out of prison or anything. Anyways.
Yeah. I will not be shamed for this. Look, I remember I was showing my roommate.
Tell us about this is season two. Why doesn't one of you guys tell us what you's about?
Doggett, what is the show what is the show you about?
Well, Nathaniel, the show you is the story about a fucked up stalker named Joe, who is a very sexy bookstore keeper, fixer-upper.
Bookstore keeper, fixer-upper.
Who, in the very first second of the show, instantly falls in love with a woman he's never spoken with before. So, you know, your usual stuff.
Yeah, I like that the show immediately is like, this is a red flag. This is what a red flag looks like. Here's a red flag over here, too. And here's Joe carrying about 6 red flags. He's our protagonist. Like, a lot of people were worried when this was being adapted to television that it would make people fall in love with a stalker. But I think that this actor, Penn Badgley, is it Badgley or Badgley?
I've heard Badgley. But
okay, Penn Badgley, I think he's great. I think he does a great job at being a charming person that someone could trick into falling for. And also being a weirdo creep psychopath at the same time. So I really enjoyed
this
show.
He's absolutely fantastic in this show. Like,
I'm
he's
so glad
giving
to hear
an,
you say that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's giving an Emmy award. He's giving an Emmy award-winning performance in a show that has, like, CW-level production value.
No, you're right. I think so, too. So season two is based on the book Hidden Bodies, which is book 2 in the You Saga of Joe Goldberg. Joe has moved away from his usual haunt and into California, where he's hitting the screenwriter scene and meets a bunch of rich people and also immediately falls in love with someone else. Someone named Love. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, for a premise to a show, what really got me interested in the show is, I know everybody compares it to Dexter, but I think one of the characters said it best towards the end of the episode, and I've been thinking it the whole 2 seasons. It has a talented Mr. Ripley vibe. It's
because,
like,
you're rooting for a con man.
Yeah, no, I don't because think most of the people he surrounds himself with are fucking dicks.
Well, I think
they're not
that's
better
a good
people than he is.
Right.
Some with some may be worse.
It does a good balance of at least making everyone around him, yeah, like you just said, Doggett, worse than he is. So it's not that we're rooting for him, it's just that his surroundings are gross.
Yeah,
it's just that if he wasn't such a creepy stalker, Joe would be such a nice dude.
Oh, totally. I mean, that was the thing with Mr. Ripley, though, in most of the adaptations. He seems like a very sweet person until you realize, holy shit, is he toxic as fuck. But there's a way how Penn Badgley plays it where he has such a humanity behind it, and you can tell he knows what he is doing is wrong, even in his voiceover, which I think is fantastic throughout the entire show and really helps the show move along. But he'll have those moments where he's like, oh, fuck, why did I even do that? Shit. And you're just like, oh. He feels sympathy for what he's doing, but everybody he's around are just awful people.
And man, it's in LA, so it's kind of believable.
Real quick, do y'all think Joe has emotions?
Yes.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
They're self-centered. He's a narcissist. The world exists for him. And when he sees someone, he doesn't, like you guys pointed out at the beginning of the review, he doesn't need to get to know them. He doesn't need to even interact with them. He decides at the drop of a hat, I'm in love with that person. That person should be with me. In fact, if that person isn't with me, they're unhappy. I'm saving this person. It's all very, for lack of a better word, fucked up.
Oh, yeah, but that's the...
Unfortunately, an actual symptom of being a fucking weirdo creep stalker. Go on, Doggett, you were saying.
No, I was going to say, well, that's kind of the hook of this season, which is... This is probably him at his best behavior up to a point.
Yeah.
Like he's actively trying to he's like somebody who's trying to avoid an addiction. He's like just pushing everything away.
Yeah, and I love it cuz you go through so much of the first episode of this show and I don't think this is a spoiler thinking like, "Oh, you know what? He's changed. Maybe he can get past this." And then you get to the end of it and you're like, "Oh, you are a total fucking psychopath. You piece of shit." You fucking piece of human garbage.
You know what's gonna happen in season 3? Oh man, Joe, how are you gonna get out of this?
Is there gonna be a third season? Do we know that?
Oh, there
sure?
definitely is.
Yeah, I think it's already been announced, maybe, or it's been leaked. Cool.
This is damn near a runaway hit. And I mentioned it earlier in the intro, moving this from Lifetime to Netflix was such a smart fucking move, because this is a show made to be binged.
Well, yeah, one episode just goes right into another one.
Yeah, but I got to say, though, it still had some times where you could tell the commercial break was leaving hooks so you would come back from the bathroom real quick.
Yeah, but I think if there's anything I respected about watching this show, because when I signed on to review this, I hadn't seen season one.
Okay.
I just binged it all. Is that when it leaves on a cliffhanger... It immediately follows through on said cliffhanger. It doesn't give you an episode of like, huh, we're flashing back in time or we're flashing forward in time. I wonder what happened with that. Nope. They go straight into it and they never cheap out on it, which I always admire about the show. I mean, sure, maybe most of Joe's solutions to problems are, oh, I'm going to fucking murder this person.
Well, he is dealing with a wacky group of characters this season.
Oh, yeah. The move from the setting to L.A., as you mentioned earlier, allows everybody to be so vapid and self-absorbed and feel like they're untouchable, in which Joe proves with a lot of shoving that no, they are not.
Right. Like, he falls in love with Love Quinn, and Love Quinn has a brother, 40 Quinn, and they're quite the pair. What did you guys think of Love and 40?
I actually really liked both of them. I thought Love was very unrealistic, but the actress sells her really well.
Like a manic pixie dream curl, but with a lot of baggage.
Well, it makes sense by the end of the show, though.
Yes, it does. We can get into that in spoiler talk if we want to do spoiler talk for this.
Nah, I'd advise against it, but... We'll see.
Yeah, this is a show that depends on all the surprises.
Yeah, true. I agree with that.
Because it's like American Horror Story, but like toned down to like it's just right.
Yeah, it's just right.
40 was a character I had a lot of trouble grappling with throughout the entire show. I couldn't understand whether or not I loved him or hated him, and just towards the end of it, I was just like, nope, I love this guy. I don't know why.
No, you're supposed to love him. He's the ultimate punishment for Joe.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no. They were, you know, they're friends. They're buddies. But, no, I know what you guys are saying. One of my favorite episodes, actually. I didn't like 40 in the book at all because I've read the book. But 40 in the TV show is so much gosh damn fun. When him and Joe go on what I'm just going to call a writer's retreat, hands down, that's my favorite episode of this season. I'll probably just watch that one again just to have a good time. And it's batshit crazy. Oh, man.
Yes,
and I think the actor, James Scully, totally nails that kind of vapid, shallow, wants to be a genius so bad, so you kind of can't believe when he is spouting what could be considered genius, that it's actually coming from him. It's so much fun. I thought he did a great job.
I think what's great about him is he's so transparent in his wants and needs and goals.
Yeah.
But he's not transparent in what the fuck he's going to do to get them.
Yeah.
Because he'll pull the craziest shit.
Oh, and you're right. It is a disaster.
He was so enjoyable.
Yeah, I would hate to be friends with this guy, which sucks. Oh, yeah. It seems like a lot of fun.
He fucking sucks.
He's the worst.
He's absolutely the worst. Although, he leads to my personal favorite moment of humor, where Joe is reading his writing and then is like, God, this is so anti-feminist. I'm like, bitch, please. I saw season one. If anybody's anti-feminist, whoa.
Now, when's the last time you saw season one, Doggett?
I saw the first episode yesterday.
Wow.
Weird.
Did you feel the season one plot lines, Nathan, I'll ask you, it carried through to season two well, or were they kind of janky?
Well, I feel like they're a little bit ditched because he thinks about it for an episode, and then he finds a new obsession. Several. There's the season just takes off. It's like, you know, that was Lifetime season. Now we're here in Netflix. Hey, what's this? Latinos? We had some last season, but here's more.
With speaking okay, parts but and everything.
I actually really liked Ellie and Delilah.
Yeah, me too. They're not in the book. And
I thought,
great.
If anything, the Netflix season had a way better cast than the first season.
Agree 100%.
I found a lot of the people to be very cringy in the first season. Like
all of Becca's friends?
Yeah, wasn't her name Beth?
No, it was Becca.
It was Becca? I thought it was Beth.
Well, let me confirm.
They didn't
that.
Feel like real people, and then with this season, maybe they don't feel like real people still, but like they're more fun.
Yeah.
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 It was Guinevere Beck was her full name, by Elizabeth Lail.
Ooh, the friend that like gives him acupuncture?
Oh yeah.
The
he
goddamn
was enjoyable,
wizard.
Weirdly.
The wizard.
I mean, the thing about the show is it has so much great dark comedy that it really allows you to forgive all the ridiculousness of the show. I mean, there are entire scenes where Joe will be stalking somebody and he'll just put on a baseball cap like he's in a Marvel movie, minus mm-hmm. the sunglasses, and you'll just be like, oh, that's Joe's invisible hat. It works.
Well, that's the enjoyable thing about Joe. Joe is, he's a good-looking guy, but to another extent, you know, he looks kind of average. I'm sure if Grant shaved, he would look like Joe.
You know, he could John Eric his way through a city without being recognized with his Unabomber hat and coat.
Yeah, they constantly cast him against people who look like supermodels, and he's like, well, I'm like the good-looking guy in an office.
Yeah, literally. A lot of people are in this season. How did you guys feel about the subplot with Henderson? I'm trying to remember the actor's name.
Chrisadilla?
Yes.
Did I say Kissadilla or Chrisadilla?
Chrisadilla?
Yeah, Quesadilla. Something like that.
It's one of those.
Henderson. I thought it was fine. You know, really good at being kind of a quiet douchebag. I don't know if that's what he was shooting for, so I wish I wouldn't have said it that way.
His least douchey role, actually.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough,
you're probably right. Yeah.
For an absolute monster of a character.
Right. I thought he hit it, you know, the monster under the surface very well. And it was a good way for Joe to kind of reconcile with his inner demons. Like, he calls out Chrisadilla on his secret evil. And it's gross, his secret evil. But then, you know, Henderson, the character's like, look in the mirror, man. And Joe's like, am I a psycho too? And that's kind of the catalyst of this season, Joe coming to terms with who he actually is and what he's going to do about it. So I enjoyed that character.
Yeah, by the end of this story, I was like, you know what? I still like him more than his character from Whitney.
Speaking of which, I mean, talking about the rest of the cast, I know a lot of people on the Screener Squad are huge fans of Gotham, and I know that Robin Lord Taylor, the guy who played Penguin, plays the person who Joe steals the identity from. Will, how did you guys feel about his performance? He's only in a few episodes, but...
He was great.
Yeah, it was completely unrecognizable from his Penguin role.
He's always great, I feel. I just thought I'd bring him up because he does a fantastic job. I always know him as Abernathy Darwin Dunlap from Accepted.
Well, he's like the olive branch to help us maybe possibly consider that maybe this main dude can change.
Yeah, and he also probably provides the weirdest, funniest shit for Joe to get into. I don't think it's a spoiler because, what is it, like episode 3? Where Joe just gets his finger fucking cut off by a random dude.
That was so funny.
It fucked me up. I felt like I averted my eyes for a second and that shit just happened.
Yeah, I didn't avert my eyes because I'm like, oh, you know, TV. But then I remembered it was Netflix. It's a pretty gross effect. And again, this actor, Penn Badgley, playing Joel Goldberg, the faces he makes when he's trapped or in a situation he doesn't want to be in, because he's a control freak. And when he loses control, he makes the goofiest but true to life, what is happening, I'm losing myself type of big ass, what is the term, deer caught in the headlights eyes. And it's so fun.
Oh,
and like you were saying, trashy, and it's just great.
I think that's what really sells him as a character and makes him so likable, is that he's an absolute fucking creep. Everything that he does is creepy. He has some nice things that he does, but that's not where I relate with him the most. I relate with him the most where he feels like he has absolute control of a situation, and then some crazy shit gets dropped into his lap, and he just has this whole, like, like deer in headlights. Moment.
Yeah.
Well, that's the best part about the season, because in this season, unlike the last, he gets punished a lot in this here. There's several like different things that happen to him that he would very much not want to happen to him. It, like in the first episode, all that happens is like hot, like he gets caught in a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, I mean, the dynamic of that whole situation is ridiculous in the first season, but this season it somehow becomes forgivable because it's like, oh, he's in LA, he's out of his comfort zone, and seeing him out of his comfort zone is fucking hilarious at times. I find that this show has some of the best dark comedy I've seen, and it might even rival some of the drama throughout the season.
I agree with you 100%. Season 2, though I did like season 1 as like a trashy, guilty pleasure, I liked this as a show I would tell people to watch. And that kind of scares me because they'll be like, eh, that creepy Brad's guy's trying to peddle his Stalkers Are Cool TV programming on us. But I swear, that's not what I'm doing. I'm a trash panda. I just want to roll around in garbage, not like make you eat it. Anyways.
Oh my God.
What is up with you and raccoons and pandas? Is there something you need to tell us?
No, I used to live in Washington. There were a lot of raccoons in Washington. You know, out in Paulsbo, right next to the woods.
Hey,
they're beautiful animals, damn it.
Can you look up his Instagram? Figure out Bradley in Washington.
I am way too old to have an Instagram.
All Bradley thinks about, I want to dance with the raccoon.
Wait, are you not on social media? How are you even alive? Sorry, I was doing an impression of every character in you.
I had one observation about the seasons I wanted to ask you guys, because this is a very strict boiler type of conversation going around about the show. Is Joe being friends with kids a good thing, a bad thing, or a manipulative thing that needs to stop in season 3?
Well, a lot of the kids he helps aren't like related to his main objective.
That's true.
Yeah. And I think my big thing with the kids that he helps out is like clearly his intentions are good and clearly some bad shit would have happened anyways. But when he leaves that situation, he leaves them way worse than they first started.
Yeah. He kind of left Paco high and dry from season 1, if you think
about it. Oh, yeah. And I think he's only mentioned like twice.
Oh, in the end of this season with Delilah's sister, Ellie, thank you, played by Jenna Ortega. Very talented actress for her age as well. That sucks. Like, that broke my heart, that situation.
He's been having a militia of angry Latino children after him.
Yeah, that'll be the end of the like fifth, sixth season. Well, Netflix probably the third, fourth season when they cancel it. But yeah, a bunch of kids are come after him for what he did. Anyways, no spoilers, like I said.
I think, did anybody feel this? But as much as I was intrigued by Love at times, I found her character to be very weak sauce as a love foil for Joe after a while, and started rooting for Delilah.
No, I don't disagree with you. Victoria Pedretti certainly has very expressive eyes, and she has the damage that a stalker would love, especially like Joe, who wants to make someone into the perfect maiden for him to save because they need him. But her craziness and her overall story seemed really random. And I don't want to say unbelievable, because, you know, it's L.A. People are vapid and shallow and do crazy shit, obviously. And Forty's brother obviously is insane, like he is. But I'm not sure if, like, when he was pining over her, I got that he was pining for her because he's a creepy psycho pervert. But when she returns his love, I don't quite understand why. Like, what's so great about Joe, love?
Yeah, she was, I mean, by design, so into him from the beginning, which it sounds like we're talking about, like, a fucking romance show, which in some ways it is.
Well, she kind of, she also likes a little bit, she kind of likes damaged people, too.
Yes.
Oh, you're right.
Very true.
That totally went under my nose.
But I think, except for her deaf boyfriend. That I'm not kind of, I'm not saying he's damaged. Don't go after me.
Yeah, that seemed like a healthy relationship.
I think what really sold me on Delilah towards the end of the show was I was like, oh, shit, she knows exactly who Will is the second he comes in, or Joe, or whatever the fuck you want to call him.
Yeah, I forget he changes his name.
She definitely, she calls him out, and when they become sort of an item towards the three-quarter mark of the season. I don't think it's spoilers to say it. Maybe it is. I don't know. With a lot of these shows, it's like, you know, you got two attractive people in a room. Eventually, they're gonna fuck.
Especially if you're Joe. Jesus.
Yeah, it's the rules of screenwriting, right?
Yeah, I love how Joe is constantly on that whole, I can't believe she cheated on me. But then the second he does that shit, he's just like, wow. You know, it just felt so good. He was like, wow, fuck you and your hypocrisy.
Well, he's never... Joe's... Ooh, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Guys, I want to... You know what? I'm not going to say all... I showed the show to my roommate, and by the end of it, she's like, well, you know, he's pretty cute still.
Yeah. I don't, look, here's I don't the thing. Get here's the thing.
Joe,
I mean,
Joe is loyal. He never... He didn't cheat.
No,
he didn't cheat.
That's just it. He isn't. A stalker is loyal to his own personal fantasy about you. He doesn't actually care about you.
No, I don't mean that way. I mean that. I mean in the way that some people only care about. He doesn't cheat, and for some people, that's all they care about. I'm telling you.
Hey, any listeners out there, you are more than just someone who won't cheat. You deserve better than someone who just won't cheat.
Here's a much weird better. Praise that shouldn't go to final thoughts, but...
okay, let's hear it.
There's a lot of this show that talks about filmmaking, and has a lot of characters in L.A. who are deep into the film scene, and a lot of that dialogue actually rings very true.
Cool.
I don't know how you guys felt about it, but every time I'd hear Ellie or even Henderson talk about... Or 40 even... talk about filmmaking and a lot of things that they're interested in, I was like, nope, that sounds like something a filmmaking friend of mine would fucking say.
No, and I do like that they're not idealist filmmakers. Like, no one ever says something like, you know, I just want to take my soul out and throw it on that silver screen and have everybody gaze upon who I am and say, beautiful. Like, there's no silly shit like that. There's actually technical terms.
Nobody's like, I just want to be the next Kubrick. I just want to be the next Spielberg. Everybody's like, wow, you see that new Yorgos Lanthimos movie? And it's like, oh, that was a little bit more realistic than I expected. Yeah. And fucking Ellie talking about the long goodbye for so long and talking about how sexy Elliot Gould is. I'm just like, wow.
No, that was fun.
Didn't expect to get a recommendation.
I like the James Cameron trivia, too. Yeah, that she brings up. That was fun.
Yeah, I was just, it was somewhat refreshing. There are a lot of things in this show that's done very realistic. At times, the social media is done realistic. At other times, it's like, why does every single person in this universe have a professional Instagram photographer?
Why are all the cops stupid?
Oh my god, so stupid. So fucking stupid.
Oh yeah. Season one, he like literally pees all over the house. And cops are like, it could have been anybody.
What's on the floor? Let me see. Piss. It's piss.
Yeah!
Anyways, I should probably go into final thoughts, gentlemen.
Yeah. Who wants to take it first? I guess I broke the silence, so I guess I should. I'm going to try and keep my thoughts away from season one because I watched both of them in succession. You, season two, was more of the same that I got from season one, but with a better cast, better humor, and all in all was just very unexpected at times, which you always ask for a show like this that comes out on Netflix that you're supposed to binge from day to day. I didn't feel like any of my time was wasted. Penn Badgley is great as ever. And it's not one of the best shows on TV, but you could do a fuck of a lot worse. I think this show is weirdly addicting and trashy in all the right ways, but without feeling like there's nothing of quality. I would give it 8 out, or no, I'll give it 7.5 out of 10 professional Instagram photos.
All right. Well, I'll jump into my final thoughts. I actually started to be a fan of Caroline Kipnis when she wrote You back in 2014, anticipated the sequel Hidden Bodies in 2016. The sequel book, it goes full silliness. I really, this is why I'm bringing it up, enjoy the changes they made to the book with Hidden Bodies. And that's what season two of You is based on. I like that Joe is clearly a monster, but he's also in a dark cave with a bunch of other monsters. I think that's very interesting. Because, you know, the only time that Dexter Morgan ever ran into serial killers, he became good friends with them and not necessarily a threat to them until the end. But enough about Dexter. They actually bring up Dexter in this season and compare him to Joe. I think they're two completely different characters. I like that he's afraid for his own safety when shit starts to hit the fan. I think the actor does an incredible job of being this sadistic, like perverted, I'm in complete control of you, and you want me to be, you want me to save you, to, oh my gosh, don't hurt me, please don't hurt me, I need to get out of here, okay, I know how to fix this, stab everybody, and
he really is immediately like, here I go killing again, the second anything bad happens.
And I loved that. Like you're both saying, I think this is an incredibly trashy show. One of the trashiest shows I've seen in a long time. And I got addicted, especially those last three episodes, 8, 9, and 10. Whenever they start the writer's retreat, I'll have to review on my own time when that episode was. But I was hooked all the way to the finale. And I'm willing to say, this year, this has the best cliffhanger I have ever seen for a trashy show. I loved the cliffhanger of this show because it also could work if it suddenly got canceled. This could be an ending and a cliffhanger. I think those are the best kind. I'm going to give this 7 red spatulas smacking 10 naughty asses.
Hot.
Very, very. Well, guys, I think this might be a perfect season of trashy television, if I'm going to be completely honest.
So Arrow season 2?
Well, here's the thing about Arrow Season 2. It actually sucks. But that's besides the point.
Alan is going to kill you, man.
I like Arrow Season 2. Alan,
it's cool. It has some great fights.
Unleash your fucking rage at Doggett. I hope I never do a review of him again. Track him down.
Well, what this show, what this season two has over Arrow is, well, a good acting, a good script, some, maybe the dialogue isn't great, but the actors are able to sell it very well. And that's almost more important. It's kind of like, it translates to every single person on screen is very charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually going to bring up a certain character earlier, and I was just reading through my notes, and inner workings of oneofus.net. How did you guys feel about Candace? I'm sorry to break up your final thoughts, but she is such a huge part of this season.
Candace, oh man, we haven't talked about her enough.
No, my final thoughts are already over. I thought she was fine. I felt a little bit wasted. She's not in either book other than a memory of someone that he's murdered. But that's kind of a neat twist that it changes from page to screen. I'll say that much. But other than that, I thought she was kind of wasted.
I enjoyed her.
There's something about her acting that's off to me.
Well, she's crazy. She's
playing like three different characters.
Well, she's also crazy, but she's not like a murderer.
Yeah.
Was she crazy? I kind of feel like they lost the handle
when
on
you
that
go
story.
Onto like that revenge level where it's like, I'm just gonna fuck with your life. That's a very specific kind of crazy. It's like, oh, if you were trying to kill him, I understand that.
I think,
but she was so bad at it.
Yeah. She was bad at that, and I think the thing that really messed with me throughout the show is the fact that I never really could buy the fact that Joe would be with her, despite the fact that he's like obsessed with every girl who buys a peach near him.
Because they look like butts, huh?
That was a weird meet cute.
Very weird.
That was a great meet cute, though.
They don't look like butts. What the hell, Joe?
You never said a peach emoji?
I don't think I have.
Peach emoji, eggplant emoji, drool emoji, weird smirk
emoji.
Oh,
this is my final thought. I just remembered.
Yeah, let's close this
down.
Yeah,
I was about to say.
Let's close it down. No, Doggett, your final thought.
Man, this is a slick-ass show. We just will talk about it for hours if we could. Maybe we should. I don't know. But, yes, I'm going to give this show 9 out of 10. Reasons why it's better than Arrow Season 2.
Woohoo!
I agree with you there.
So you guys ever stalk anybody?
How do I legally answer this question?
I stalked Doggett for a little.
Oh, I was going to say I stalked you!
Aw.
Sorry, Bradley.
Spoiler section. We're just like Love and Joe.